as I am running, won't be long till I am home.
Yes,
I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Guide my feet, Lord, as I run. Hold me, Savior, in your love. Jesus, keep me free from sin. Help me fight the war within. Shield me now from fear and doubt. Break these chains that weigh me down. Oh, we sing together now. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Now, yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. I do not know what I will see when all my tears are wiped away, but I am sure that it will be the world that I was saved to see. And he has said that I will know a joy beyond my deepest hope, a Father's love, a Savior's peace, when I am truly home. Yes, I am running, won't be till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home.
Hallelujah. Thank God for technology. If you used to cuss before you were a Christian, these things brings it out of you every now and then. Anybody ever notice? Hallelujah. Yeah, the virus. Should we talk about it? Our ears are full of it. All the faith churches have closed their doors today. Just the Mennonites and us that are preaching, I guess. This ministry depends, a faith ministry, it depends on your donations to keep going. That's not much of a faith ministry, is it? So we'll see. What we're seeing today is the signs of the times. Is this the end of the world? Absolutely not, because it's going to get much worse. And that's what people need to get to understand. It's going to get much worse. As the Bible teaches us, it's just a sign, like a woman having contractions. It become more severe and they're more frequent. So if you feel you're crowded today with the frequency of what's happening, hold your breath. It's going to get much more crowded. So what is the Christian to do? Like, I've been trying to argue with God, but God has a very nice blueprint for what the Christian has to do in a time like this. He needs to be trained already. But as we see the churches listening to strange doctrines and forgetting about the Word of God and going into all sorts of seducing spirit ideas, you don't know how the church is going to take what is coming. How many of you know a guy by the name of Dr. Lester Summerall? Nobody? One or two? Okay. I used to preach on his shortwave radio stations years ago. And I don't know, was it for the lack of money or for the lack of response that we quit? I know Lester Summerall just by hearing about him. But lately they've put him on the internet, and I came upon a very interesting message that he had. He basically tells stories about how he was a missionary throughout the world and the things that happened. Incredible signs and wonders. And he said what got him going was he was coming from Colombia on a bus, and they stopped at the way station where they had some food. They went into this restaurant. And he said, I didn't go in because there was a guy chained to a post, totally naked, totally demon-possessed. And he was swearing, and people were throwing spoiled fruit at him, and he gobbled it up, and he was totally dirty. Nobody ever washed him. And he said, I couldn't quit staring at that guy until the bus left again. And he said, while I was sitting on the bus, I was asking, God, is there nobody that can help that person? And God said, this is why I raised you up. That is the work of the church. You may ask, he says, how can we do this in North America? Well, we're going to have to change pretty soon because it's going to become more evident. Because the insane asylums are full of people who are locked up. If they would let them on the streets, they would be totally crazy. You wouldn't know what hit them. If a person goes into rides a bus and cuts off another man's head and eats him, starts eating him, you know there's something wrong. And we are starting to see these things. So what shall the world do? I know what the world does. They lock them up in insane asylums. In Africa, they chain them to trees till the preacher gets to them. Here at home, they're all nicely locked away, or they inject them with that nice little drug. Keep them down. I don't know. Drugs seem to work to keep a demon possessed down. A guy could take down five policemen and inject them with a drug, and there is nice and peaceful. So we need the Holy Spirit to deal with those guys. And today I will teach a little bit on how to achieve that Holy Spirit. And I will show you by Scripture that it's for each and every one of us. But I also want to warn you, there are a little warnings for those who don't go into that, because they will have to give an account. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, mercy, kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you keep us safe from that virus, because it's by your grace that we stand. So open our hearts to the truth of what we're going to read and help us to understand so we may take charge. We thank you, Lord, for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he left, he gave us some pretty clear instructions how to deal with the situations around us. And I've had some experiences in my life that years ago I thought were impossible, but it's getting to be more and more evident that the demonic realm is rearing its head. They're causing sickness and disease and all sorts of confusion, and they're starting to manifest. So God wants us to understand, you have the charge over them. They will flee if you exercise your right. But a lot of Christians today are so used to their couch, they don't know about these things. Yes, they're born again by the Spirit of God, but they have not exercised their senses in operating in the power of the Holy Spirit because they're busy at work, they're coming home, they're sleeping. They don't really exercise the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some don't even go there because of what some teachers teach. So it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What does the word ignorant mean? The word ignorant simply means you don't know. You don't have a clue. You're ignorant of what's going on. The problem with Christians today is they're willingly ignorant. They've been taught against the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a willingness to be ignorant. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear about it. And they're not even going to get into it. So here's the problem. They don't even have the capacity to see the supernatural when it's happening around them. Do you hear me? They don't have the capacity to see the supernatural when it's around them. I'll give you a very interesting little story about myself. Not too long ago, a grandmother called me and said, Dave, I need an answer from God. And I said, what is the problem? And she said, well, my son is in the hospital. They've opened him from top to bottom. They have no clue what is wrong with him. Regardless what they try, he doesn't get well. He's getting worse. So what shall I do? I said, I don't know, but I'll try asking God, see what he comes up with. And during the night, the Lord showed me exactly what was wrong. So the next day, I called her. I said, here is what is wrong. The demonic realm is keeping this guy from being healed. So you have to pray against these evil spirits. And she did. 3 days later, she called me. The guy is recovering. And I talked to her yesterday. He's basically totally recovered. So that's a gift from God that he gives us. It's called a word of knowledge. You can find it in the Word of God. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And this is what we have to understand. There's different gifts, the same Spirit, different administrations, the same Lord. So we don't look down our noses at people who have different gifts. There are many different gifts. Don't thumb your nose at somebody who claims to be a prophet because you don't know. He may be one, but you have never exercised your senses to believe in a prophet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 6, it tells us, There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it is given to all of us for the profit for all of us. Very interesting. I've been in churches, in fellowships, where the power of God moves. They get a word of knowledge, and I've seen some very interesting stuff happening, and the truth coming out. And let me tell you, if you do not accept that, you're not going to see it, you're not going to experience it, because God will not steer a wheel that is not turning, right? If there's a wheel and it's not moving, you can't steer it. It goes in no direction. It just stands there regardless which way you turn it. If it's not moving, it's useless. So are you one of those who are a wheel but standing still? God cannot steer you. I'm talking to those over the internet and those who are listening here. You need to pay attention. God is speaking to you, and you may be sitting like this. I don't want to hear. These things went out with the apostles, so I'm told. Hallelujah. The Bible is stronger and more sharp and clear than the ones that teach you that these things went out with the apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen to this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Everybody here has wisdom, right? Hallelujah. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. We all claim we have faith. We have faith in Jesus. We have faith in the blood of Jesus that it's going to take us into the kingdom of God. It's the faith has come to the point where we have knowledge. It's not faith anymore. We know that we know that we're going to heaven. But then it comes to the gifts of healing. It's the same Spirit that said, what is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? It's the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And that's the one we really need today, discerning of spirits. I was listening to a guy, a so-called preacher on the internet not too long ago. It took my spirit about 1 second to figure out what kind of spirit he had. And I was right. He was an intruder, a wolf in sheep's clothes, telling us that homosexuality is okay. Don't worry about it. If you're a Christian, God will honor it. I got something for those who are into homosexuality. All sin, all sex out of marriage is sin. I don't care what it is. So if you can find me a blueprint in the Word of God where man and man, where the blueprint is where man and man or woman and woman can get married, show it to me. Then I'll agree with you. It's not there. I looked through that Bible with a fine tooth comb and couldn't find it. It says marriage is between a man and a woman. And it's going to stay like that regardless how they've tried to manipulate the Word of God, regardless how they try to tell us their information or their enlightenment or their revelations are now more than the Apostle Paul. It's not going to work. The Word of God still stays the same. It says he gives them over to vile affections. Man doing what is unseemly with men, and even their women, leaving the natural use of the man and go after. You know, it's vile affection. He gives them over to a reprobate mind because they have no love for the truth. This is why we're seeing this. They love darkness more than they love light. And pretending everything's going to be all right. It says to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. This is another subject that a lot of Christians neglect, the praying in tongues. When you start praying in your natural tongue, you're finished in about 2 minutes or maybe 10 minutes. If you pray longer than that, you may start repeating yourself. And it's mostly I, me, God, help me. But if you're praying in tongues, God can cause you to pray for somebody you don't like very much. Somebody maybe that you hate, like Justin Trudeau. Or maybe even Chuck Schumer. That would be a miracle for God to make him pray for him. That guy's demon-possessed from top to bottom. But God wants us to understand. He needs us, but he wants to work through us. Is God working through you? I know he's not worked through me a few times. Every now and then, God shows me something, and there I try and do what he wants me to do. I remember one time this guy called me a few times, Dave, I got to talk to you. And I was thinking, what for? You know everything. And then one day I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you need to go talk to that person. And it was so strong that I called Brother Steve and said, let's go talk to that guy. I feel a very strong urgency from God that I need to talk to this person. And we met that person. I got Steve there to go with me so he could stand in the gap and pray while I talked. And I told him it was a guy, he was a Hutterite. I may be straight out. He was a guy who wanted to know about salvation. He said, what's the difference between that church and that church and that church? And I said, here's the difference. Most of them have different ideas of operation, but they got the same God. They worship the same way on how to get into heaven. But where you come from, you believe in your system to get into heaven. And if you don't turn to Jesus, you'll go to hell. And he said, I agree with you. 4 days later, he was dead. And a fear came over me when I heard it. What if I wouldn't have gone to talk with him? What if I wouldn't have heard God speaking and telling me to go and witness to that guy? His blood was off me. I told him, hallelujah. So God is working in us. And how is he working? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get our attention. If we're going to close our ears, we're going to miss his instructions. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to man severally as he will. So each and every one has a gift from God. I don't care who you are, how little you are, how small you are in your Christianity, how much you read the Bible. You have a gift from God. And if you do not exercise that gift, you are going to stand before God one day. You're his bride if you're born again. He'll say, my bride, what did you do with the gifts that I give you? Did you open them at least? And you'll say, well, they told me those things weren't for us. So here I have them, Lord, take those gifts back. And God will, it's going to break his heart for those who he has given gifts to, and they never even bother to unwrap them. Think about it. You do it yourself. Think about how it'll hurt you. God gives to every man gifts. Once you're born again by the Spirit of God, something has to work in you. If it doesn't work in you, then you may not be born again. I was listening to this guy this morning. He said, The power of the blood of Jesus is not to cover sin. Listen to this. The power of the blood of Jesus is not to cover sin. It's to take away sin. And if sin hasn't been taken away from your life, if there's no change in you, there's something wrong. And I figured, wow, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. In other words, if you're born again and you don't change, something is wrong. I figured I'd throw that in as something to think about. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, and thirdly teachers. I was listening to one of my favorite teachers the other day, Mr. Safati. He said, the apostles, they are finished. The last one died when the apostle Paul died. I beg to differ. So did the teachers. So did those who do miracles. So did those who have helps and those who are in tongues. See, the word of God is now and forever. It doesn't stop. It's a continuous thing. It says, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers. Do we have teachers in this room? Yes, we do. Hallelujah. After that, miracles. Do we have miracle workers? Sometimes I see miracles and I figure, wow, God, how did that come about? The gifts of healing. I myself have been healed. I had people pray for me. I'll give you one instance. I had a flipping, growth here, right on my temple. And it was growing bigger and bigger and bigger. I was trying to hide it with a nice little 70s, how do they call them, sideburn. But one day I was watching myself on TV and I thought, what the heck is that black thing peeking out of my head here? And I looked and there was this growth growing out. Maybe it grew about a half an inch or something, close to a half an inch. I said, oh, no, we can't let that happen. I'm on TV. I'm supposed to look nice. So at prayer meeting, I got some little old lady to pray for me. Little old ladies, they have more faith than little old men. And the little old lady, she prayed. And guess what? The thing disappeared. Sorry if you're not that old. Sorry, little old lady, if you're not that old. So God wants us to see these things happen today. Hallelujah. They happen today. I've seen it. I've seen the power of God moving. I've cast out devils. They've argued with me. I don't want to go. Yes, you're going into the pit, screaming and hollering and swearing. It's for today, not for yesterday. There are some of you here that know for a fact that it's happened, but I'm speaking to those on the internet. There's quite a few listening already. You may have to exercise what God has given you, if you like it or not, as we get closer to the end. So it's time to start practicing. Hallelujah. You need to start to chewing on meat instead of just drinking milk. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you will sow, you will reap. You'll stand there. What do I do? Well, we'll send them to the hospital, the mental hospital. I remember me and my wife, we went to visit this mental hospital. So I asked them, can I bring my guitar? Oh, yes, bring your guitar. So we went there a week later, and I started singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose in that place. They got us out of there in record time. And don't bring your guitar back. They thought God was in that guitar. Maybe he was. But let me tell you, that was a rude awakening to me in what mental hospitals are. I know they're demon-possessed, those people. The workers were even worse than the ones that were in there. God just opened my eyes to something. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And we weren't allowed back in with that I still got the guitar, and I wasn't allowed back in. But we did preach, we did talk to the person, and it helped. So God wants us to see what we're up against. I'm just sharing these experiences that it doesn't only work, that it's not only for those in Africa and down south or wherever. It's happening right here in your own congregation where God is moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's here. It's among us. All you have to do is step into it and ask God, show me what to do so that I can be of some use to your kingdom. In Mark chapter 16, I love that verse. I love these scriptures in verse 15. And he said unto them, that's Jesus' last command basically, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the most important thing. This is what we're doing over this radio station. We're covering all of Western Canada. There's a lot of people listening to us. We want them to know the gospel. The only way into the kingdom is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has sanctified us. He has made us holy. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has made us a new creation in Christ. We are all his purchased possession. That is the message I want to give, a message of hope, that we can know, that we know that we go to heaven. He said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. That's a very clear. You want to know where you're going to go? If you're not a Christian, you're going to be damned. It's as simple as that. If you turn to Jesus and you believe the message, you're going to be saved if you take it for yourself. The Apostle Paul was asked, somebody asked him, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and get baptized. No, he didn't say that. What the baptism means is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you become born again, you receive the baptism. We are all baptized into one body by one Spirit. That's what true baptism is. People mistake it for water. The Baptists make a big deal out of it, and so do quite a few others. I'm not against baptism. I recommend people to get baptized, but don't make an idol out of water. It's the Holy Spirit that's an idol. It's Jesus that's the idol. We need to point to him. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe? It doesn't say these signs shall follow them that are Christians. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And that happens all over the world. Missionaries, they try to poison them. They watch and wait and wait and watch and watch and wait and wait and watch. Nothing happens to them. Finally, they go and ask them, well, what happened? Why should we die? Well, we poisoned you. Sorry, with our God, we don't poison. We don't die from poison. You know, I've read a few stories like that. I find it amazing. Only after that do they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading a story from Africa. These people were not turning to Christ. It was a small little village. And they just wouldn't come to Christ. They prayed, they asked, they witnessed. And one day they asked God, what's the problem here? And they said, you see that tree down in the middle of the village? Go and pray for it to die. They're worshiping that tree. So they went and made a circle around the tree. They prayed, cursed it. And in 2 days, it toppled over dead. And guess what? That whole village came to know the Lord. That's the power that God has given us. It's not we ourselves. It's the Spirit that is in us. It says, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I've prayed for a lot of people. I've seen quite a few get healed. There's some that don't. I don't know why. God is the one that does the healing. I'm just the one that is commanded to pray. So God gives the increase. When I go and plant the garden, I just put the seed in the garden. I don't stand there, now grow or else. Do you guys do that? You just plant the seed like I do, and then you water it, and you allow God to increase it. That's how you do when you pray for somebody who's sick. You pray for him, you speak a word of encouragement, and allow God to move. Exercise your faith. Well, what if nothing happens? Well, you never got killed doing it. Try it again next time. And you will see results, because I've experienced it. Hallelujah. It says, Mark in 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs, and signs following. What are signs? I have seen strange things happen when people come to the Lord. They change, they turn away from evil. I have seen strange things happen when I cast a demon out of a person. I'm telling you, some of you might run if you'd see it. But it's real, it's true. Signs do happen. I have seen them. I know what it's like. I will not be taken by surprise if all of a sudden somebody comes up to me and says, I need your help. I got this devil. Can you take care of him? I will tell him, you love the Lord? You want Jesus? You got Jesus? Let's go for it, boy, regardless where. So this is the attitude we should have. To stand up for God, use the gift that he has given us, because we are fast running out of time. I believe in the rapture, and I sometimes get discouraged when I hear people saying, oh, it's another 50 years or 20 years. I want Jesus to come back now, today, right now. But at the same time, I want to occupy till he comes. Because that's what he put us here on this earth. If my work will be finished, he'll make short work of me. I'll be gone. But until then, we work in the work of the ministry to do the will of God. One reason I want you to tell you why we should do that, because the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, is on the horizon. And we'll all give an account of what we did while we were here. So let us open our hearts to this and become a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm praying, I'm working too. Glory. the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see.